First of all, we got to make Christ's resurrection the chief theme of the gospel. Without him, we would have nothing. And in verse 9, Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bounds, but the word of God is not bound. Saints of God, you got to know that the word of God is not bound. You can't bind God's word. God's word is all power, and it cannot be bound. We might be bound. Satan might have us bound and in a stranglehold. But saints of God, God's word is not bound.
Listening to KAYT 88.1 FM Gina Alexandria, 98.9 FM Monroe West Monroe, 92.5 FM Shreveport Greenwood, 100.1 FM Lake Charles, and KQJO 99.3 FM St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
The following programs are underwriting sponsors of this station. The views expressed belong to its participants and are not necessarily those of the management and staff of KYT.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I was led in the preparation of this message to deal with, I believe, one of the attacks from the enemy and on the believer's thoughts and the believer's outlook on how God gives them opportunities and God gives them situations, circumstances, resources, etc. And when they don't see it the way God sees it, many times they literally let that blessing slip out of their hands because they have despised it as they've looked through the flesh. So what I want to talk about tonight is the power of little or weak things. You'll be surprised how much God has to say about the power of little things or weak things. And so many times our thought processes will not line up with the word of God unless we have the reference of God's word as the motivation for our process. Most times we get it from what we see in the world, what we hear on the radio, what we view on television, and we miss the reality of what God is saying. I want you to turn to Psalm. Our verse of our launching will be the second verse, but I want to read verse 1 in Psalm 8. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth! Exclamation point. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? And verse 2 says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Now, when we look at this again and understand some of these words in the text, first of all, God has ordained strength. And the word ordained means appointed or founded. Listen, God has appointed or ordained or founded strength out of the mouths of babes who are supposed to be, you know, childish, without much thought, without much profundity or depth. Children just usually babble and say things that are not really profound. But the Bible says the word strength in the Hebrew means a strength, meaning a specific strength, a stronghold or fortress. Now, if God has ordained strength and God has given, as only He can, this power to babes who in any other context would not be able to say those things, then you have to know that God is in control. How many times has the Lord used the child to say something that just blew your mind? I mean, you're like, this is coming from, I mean, you might be doing something wrong. The little child said, that's wrong, mama. Now, you knew it was wrong, but you didn't realize that child knew. And I mean, it'll blow you away sometime how when you won't listen to God, God will speak it through a child. And so the word says God has ordained strength. I mean, again, that means appointed or founded, a specific strength. And He says out of the mouths of babes. Again, that's important because the voice of children is strong enough to silence the enemy. The voice of children. And listen at this. Some of the greatest witnesses for Christ have been children whose faith and innocence were difficult to dispute. See, a child doesn't have motives like men and women have motives, and we say things and do things because we have a lot of motives about doing it. Child is just a child. Child just be real about it. Child just say something. That's why a child will act up where we won't act up. We'll hold it together till we get home, and then, man, bam. Child just right there. Whatever. And then listen, to that, we're still trying to hold together, try and act like it's all good. Now, come here, little Johnny, don't do that. You know, you're trying to pinch the hand, the ear, you're trying to get them, looking at them, rolling your eye, all that. Little Johnny just acting a fool. And you're like, wait till I get you home. Little Johnny say, I know what's going to happen when I get home. I'm going to do it right here. Just act on out. I mean, they are real. They're real like that. You know, you go up to a child don't like you. Child ain't gonna act like an adult and try and pretend, hey, my brother, God bless you, all right. Nigga make me sick. This fake self. Child be like, you come to child, You know, somebody, you all up in the child face or whatever. Child smell some halitosis. Child be like, You know, we let them blow in our face and burning up our eyelashes and everything. We stop breathing while they're talking, trying to, and won't say nothing about it. Yeah. They're going to go tell everybody, you know who got some bad breath? Instead of saying, hey, listen, you know what? You know, you had some onions, whatever. Here's a minute. You want one? No, you need one. But we won't be real like that. But babes and children, you'll be surprised how God uses them to get over His word. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto who? Babes. The wise and the prudent folk, with all of the degrees, all of the knowledge, all of the training, all of this stuff that yields itself and lends itself to them knowing, God reveals those things to those babes before He reveals those to those who think they got it without God. That's how God operates. Listen, God is in the business of using little things. Tell your neighbor, God is in the business of using little things. He's in the business all through the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament alike. God uses little things, weak things, insignificant things to bring out His glory. Why? Because God is not interested. He'll share His gold with you. I've shared you that before. But He's not trying to share His glory with you. It belongs to Him and Him alone. What we are because of Him. Where we've come from, it's because of Him. Where we're going, it'll be because of Him. Everything is about Him, so why then do we want to make it about us and try and share His spotlight? So sometimes God will use folk that aren't as eloquent and aren't as celebrated and educated and this, that. Not that He has anything against that, but when you take that and you elevate that above Him, then He'll show you He can use somebody that ain't got half the stuff you got and show you out. Okay? Because here's what you know. You can get training, but nobody can train you to be anointed. You can be appointed, but nobody can give you an anointing. And so you can have two people studying the same book, getting two different revelations from it. You can give two people the same message and tell them preach it. Same lesson, tell them teach it. But the anointing is always on the vessel being used. Now, somebody may be able to read it better, but it don't mean that the anointing is going to be upon them. God chooses to use those who will humble themselves and open themselves up and make themselves available unto Him. Listen, He used the jawbone of an ass in the hands of Samson. According to Judges 15:15, write this down. Get a chance to read it. Look at this. Samson was about to go into war. The enemies were against him. Samson walked. He looked and he saw a jawbone dried from a dead ass. Went there, picked up the jawbone, slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. When he got through, read a few verses later, he threw the jawbone down and went on about his business. But that little thing in the hands of a man who was anointed to do battle, in the hand of God, opened that and took out 1,000 men. Not bows and arrows, not heavy artillery, but the bone of an ass. All right? Look, if you will, in David's hand, he used the stone. 1 Samuel 17:49. You know the story greatly about Goliath and David. He's breathing out threatenings one day. David goes to bring some victuals to his brothers in battle. He hears Goliath challenging a man from Israel's army to come and fight him to spare the lives of all of these men that didn't need to die. Whichever man won, that would be the one who wanted to die. So Goliath was out there breathing out threatenings. David said, "Do y'all hear what they're saying about my God? Nobody's going to do nothing." David said, "I'll go do something." So they took David and they put him in all of this regalia, all of this, you know, army fatigues and all. And he takes a couple steps and says, "Wait a minute, I've never tried none of this in battle." And he thought back when a bear came, tried to take one of his daddy's sheep, when a lion came. He was able to defeat him with his own hand. So he goes out, had already picked up 5 smooth rocks, put in his shepherd bag. He goes out there now, dressed like he's going to deal with sheep against Goliath. Goliath gets upset, starts cursing, talking about he's been a warrior since he was a boy, and y'all sent a boy out here, and then he tells David what he's going to do with his hide. David said, "You talking big talk, buddy." And listen at this. On his way to him, when the battle was ensued, all David did was reach in his shepherd's bag, pulled out one smooth rock, put it in his slingshot, and y'all know the story. Boom, right in the center of the head, big man goes down. Little boy with a little rock and a slingshot took him out. See, y'all are facing some Goliaths, and you don't see what you are capable of doing by trusting God and believing in God and using what you got. You've got to make the little you got work for you. Somebody didn't catch that. I say you got to use the little that you've got and make it work for you. You got to learn how to work with little. See, our problem is we only want the big. We don't want to deal with the little. And we ain't even got big. See, you can't start where you aren't. You got to start where you are. And you have to start where you are to get where you want to go to. And too many of us miss our blessings and our benefits because our mindset is further than our reality. How are you going to make what you desire to come to pass when you don't have all things sufficient at that moment for that end reality? You've got to start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Shamgar. That's all that said about him. He used what he had, he did what he could, and he won the battle for Israel. That's all that said about him. But listen to this. That's all that's necessary for any of us to win the battle. See, there are some things that you're trying to put too much emphasis on and you're trying to do it a certain way. God has made it clear how it ought to operate. And because we overlook little things, small things, weak things, we miss God. Look again. God used hornets to drive the Canaanites out of Canaan. Hornets. Found in Joshua 24:12. God used insects, if you will, little things, to draw or drive out the enemy. Didn't use no big old elephants. Didn't use no lions, bears, hornets. Very small. See, what you don't understand is God specializes in using small things. Weak things, little things. Your situation could be changed today if you saw it from God's perspective, if you understood it from God's perspective. In Elisha's hands, he used oil and flour, 1 Kings 17, verse 13 and 14. There was a famine in the land. He sends Elisha from one brook and place that had dried up to a place called Zarephath. He said, there I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. Now, one of the things, again, in this same lesson, God teaches the man of God as well as the woman that God's going to bless. She's a widow woman. Listen, you read the text, you'll see this. She's already prepared. She has a handful of meal, a little oil in the cruse. She's on her way to prepare her last supper. That she and her son are going to eat and die. He sends the man of God from a brook where he fed him with bread by ravens and let him drink from the brook. And they fed him twice a day. They airdropped his food daily. Special delivery daily. And then the brook dried up. And God says, I'm sending you to Zarephath. There's a widow woman there. I want you to go there, and she's going to sustain you. But what God, and I want you to see this, what God was trying to get both of them to understand is that he can use little things, weak things, small things to do big things with. So he's coming through the city. He didn't tell the man what the woman's name was. By faith, he starts walking there. At the same time, see, that's what I'm telling you. If God says to you, I want you to go here, and there I'm going to bless you, all you got to do is get up from here and go. It's up to God how he's going to do what he's going to do. Your responsibility is to get up and go. So he went. Ability. Timing was that God navigated and orchestrated that as he was coming in the gate, she was passing by the gate. He stops. He said, ma'am, could you give me a little water? It's a payment. Water is a prized commodity. It was perhaps rationed out in a civilized system, so she probably was going to get her daily ration. When she agreed, he said, I got the right one now. He said, wait, before you go, bring me back a little something to eat, a morsel of bread. And then she tells him the story. She said, sir, I was looking for two sticks so I could bake a cake for me and my son. For we were going to eat this little flour and oil, this, and make a cake and eat this and die. He said, I understand what you said, but make me a little cake first. And this is what he says in the next verse. He said, God told me to tell you that if you take care of the man of God, he's going to take care of you until this famine is over. This woman goes, she makes the little cake first, she brings it back to the man of God, and after that, immediately, that woman's life was changed because what God had promised through the little things. Listen to this. That's what I love about the Lord. He did not masterfully multiply her meal. In other words, he didn't take that handful and make it 10 pounds. And then when the 10-pound bag ran out, he gave another 10-pound bag. He kept the meal at the same amount right there. Listen to this. And the only difference was that if it was enough to make one meal, then it was enough to make one meal every time. When will he come through? When will he come through? And every time, whether it was breakfast, lunch, or dinner, she went back. She had enough for breakfast. Use that. Put the oil in it. Made breakfast. Went back there again. Lord, it's still. She made lunch. Same amount. She went back for dinner. Same amount. The next day, the same amount. And I'm here to tell you, it sustained her throughout a 3-year and 6-month drought because God was faithful to use little. Do you know how big-headed she might have gotten if he had put a 20-pound, 100-pound bag of flour or wheat or whatever out there? Listen, this is the next lesson. He kept it at that level to keep her walking by faith daily. Give us this day our... Can I ask you this? How honestly would you go to God in prayer daily if he gave you your yearly supply? Can anybody be real with me and talk to me? Would we talk with him as much if he knew everything that was going to happen in the year and I wouldn't have to pray and ask him to take care of my enemy because he's already done that. I won't have to ask him for a breakthrough because he's already done that. I wouldn't have to ask him for deliverance because he's already done that. If he does everything he needs to do for me and I don't have to go back to him in a year, how often would I talk to him? How often would I communicate with him and tell him, Lord, thank you for bringing me through. I didn't know how I was going to make it through this day. I didn't know how you were going to open this door. I didn't know how this thing was going to work out. But listen, when I walk with him daily, it keeps me what? The just shall live by faith. And that's the kind of faith God wants us to operate in. That's why he gives us daily. Because he keeps us in fellowship with him daily. God knows some of us. He'd see us annually. We'd be at church annually. Oh, Lord, all this, my year about to end up. It'll be every New Year Eve service. I'm gonna get what I got from the Lord. I got you what I wanted. I got you what I... I'll see you back next year. No, he don't want that. He don't want that. Listen. We despise small things. Job 8:7, his friends were talking to him, told him, you know, you started off with little, but you ended up with great. Verse 10 of the 4th chapter of Zechariah says this, who can despise small things? Let me rephrase it. Who has the right to despise small things, small beginnings? Small opportunities, small resources. How many people have gone on to greatness because they said, I'm blessed in the world's terms, I'm lucky because I got a foot in the door or a lucky break. Somebody gave me one chance. Somebody gave me an opportunity to show what I could do. Somebody recognized this opportunity and seized it. Listen at this. How many CEOs have you read who said they started in the mailroom? They got a position in an entry-level position. But listen, here's what you got to know, that when you walk in the door and you get an entry level position, you start at the entry level position with your mind on the CEO position. And see, then nothing is beneath you when you understand that in order to get to the top, you have to start at the bottom. And usually, I don't know many buildings that allow you to walk in from the top floor. You have to come through the door, go upstairs, catch an elevator, have some elevation to get you up there. You just don't walk in a building and end up on the top floor. So again, it's unnatural for you to think that everything God's going to bless you with, every door God's going to open, every way God's going to make is going to happen on the top floor. And so many things have been missed in terms of the relativity of God giving you a chance, an opportunity. Because listen at this, God is going to do the impossible, but guess who he wants to do the possible? He wants each one of us to do the possible. He's not going to do the possible. He's not going to do the possible. The truth of the matter is, he's going to let you do what you can do. And he's going to do what he and only he can do. And so oftentimes, many of us are sitting here right now because we've underestimated the little that we had. Didn't see it for the benefit it was. Didn't see it for the opportunity it was. Didn't see it for the door that it was. Didn't see it for the best that was going to be of that. Didn't see that God was using this to test our faithfulness. He who is faithful in little is faithful in much. See, God knows if you're not going to be faithful where you are, why would he let you be over something that he knows you won't be faithful of then? I keep saying to folk, listen, God is in control of your promotion. God is in control of your pay, your salary, your income. Listen, jobs pay you a salary, but God dictates your income. And God has the right and reserves it to forego what you get from your job. He can open doors and make ways that you could not even begin to fathom. Why? Because when you trust him and walk by faith and recognize that some of the greatest things that are great now started in the small. What about when you look at Bill Gates? When he started, and he started very small. The owners of Dell, they didn't start off in no big CEO firm and being big. No, they started small. Worked it, worked it, worked. Old folk, you say plan your work and work your plan. Some of us like to plan big and don't want work. Just want God to make it happen. Now, Lord, I've been praying on this. God's like, well, you need to put some feet to your prayer and start doing your part. And you'll see, look, faithfulness. Do you know what really makes up success? Finding the formula and repeating it daily. I just gave somebody a blessing right there and they missed it. Success is being able to identify principles, being able to find out what works, and just keep on working it. Keep on working. See, the problem is you don't know how to work with little. You don't know how to work with small. That's beneath you. You don't know how to take a dollar and stretch it till it hollers. You won't be big baller, shot caller with all of that money, and you ain't got paycheck to last you through the month. You've got more month than you got money. And you don't understand, you can do some things differently and balance the scales. And then learn how to take that and make it work for you.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. 1-800-633-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry.